Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Man, what we've been going through the last few months has stirred up a lot of emotions, right? And being stuck at home, maybe stressed from always being around the same people all the time, losing income, uncertainty about the future, missing out on seeing people or being at special events. There's been racial tensions and marches and riots and a lot of emotions. And I think some of us don't know how to deal with our feelings, not in a way that's honest and healthy and that honors God. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, how to deal with our feelings. Some of you are like, that sounds awesome. And some of you are like, that sounds miserable. I get it. I would not be excited about this series either. You know what that means? I need it. And if you're not excited, you probably need it. We all need this. Some of us don't know how to feel our feelings. We go through life mostly numb. Some of us don't understand our feelings. Like, why am I so angry? Some of us don't realize that feelings and faith go together. Maybe you grew up in a church that taught you not to be sad, not to be angry, not to be anxious, not to be depressed. If that's how you're feeling, just don't feel that way anymore. No. People ask you how you're doing, and your answer is always, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm fine. I do the same thing. I struggle with emotions, but I have help now. Because I have discovered emojis that have unlocked emotions I didn't know I had. Like I'm texting and I'll look at the emojis and I'm like, oh yeah, that's how I feel about this. And I'll send that emoji. Yeah. So you know, maybe it'd be better if we just use emoji language to talk about emotions. Like we know we want to feel like this. Yeah, but sometimes we feel like this. You know what I mean? Like we want to feel, but we keep feeling, and no matter how hard we try to feel like that, we can't stop feeling. Is that that? So now we get that it's hard to deal with our emotions, to talk about them. It's possible for a lot of us to just stop feeling anything, to just go through life numb. In this series, we're going to talk about what it would look like to become emotionally healthy. I believe that to be spiritually healthy, you need to be emotionally healthy. To help us, the next 3 weeks, we're going to study three Psalms written by David. David was a man's man. He was a giant killer, a warrior, a powerful king, and he was an emotional dude. Like, no trouble expressing his emotions. And we're going to see that in these three Psalms, which are like prayers that he wrote. But today, we're going to kick off our series by looking at Jesus. Jesus was God come to earth and living a human life. And we get to look at Jesus' human life to see what our human lives can look like. So, how did Jesus deal with his feelings? How did he handle emotions? Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to put all the verses on the screen. So there are four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that cover Jesus' life on earth. Someone studied the emotions that Jesus displayed in those four books. They said that we see 39 different emotions. I didn't even know there were 39 different emotions, except I have a teenage daughter, so kinda. Jesus shows us that emotions are not associated with being weak. They're associated with being human. The question is not, are emotions right or wrong? The question is, what do we do with them? How do we deal with how we feel? It may help to understand where the word emotion comes from. It comes from the Latin word emovere, which I may be pronouncing incorrectly. I don't know Latin, but the word emovere means to move, to move. We use that language, right? We might say, I felt moved by that song. God gave us emotions to move us. The question is, where are they taking us? And that's what I really want to focus on in this series. I want us to think of emotions kind of like a vehicle, okay? You get in a vehicle, and then it takes you someplace. In the same way, you get into anger, anxious, stress, sadness, and it takes you somewhere. So where is your anger taking you? Where do you let your anxiety take you? Where is your guilt going to take you? Where is that feeling of loneliness going to take you? And I think with emotions, we have a choice. The feeling may come at us without a choice, okay? It's a natural reaction to a circumstance. But then we have a choice. Which direction am I going to let this take me? So, like, let's say you feel shame. Okay. Well, shame is an emotion. It moves you. It's like a vehicle. So when you find yourself in that vehicle, will you have it take you to a place of isolation or to a place of forgiveness and freedom? Or let's say you feel failure. Well, that is going to move you. If you get into that vehicle, will you choose to let it take you to a place of depression or to a place of great dependence on God? See, there's a healthy way to deal with our feelings. Our emotions can move us to a place of greater spiritual maturity, move us closer to God. And I'm hoping that this series will help us choose for that to happen. So, let's see what we can learn from Jesus. In Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been there. So it's an olive garden, and it's early that night. But even earlier that night, Jesus had the Last Supper with his friends. At some point during this meal, everyone got on the same side of the table so they could snap a selfie, right? You've seen that? One of his posse, Judas, left the meal to betray him. Jesus knows that happened. He also knows that he is about to be arrested and the next day will be tortured and crucified. Kind of stressful circumstances. Where we're going to pick up the story, Jesus is overcome with emotion. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So you want to hear something crazy. Luke wrote another of the biographies of Jesus' life. Luke was a medical doctor. Listen to what he writes about this moment. Luke 22, verse 44 says, and being in anguish, he, Jesus, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is a relatively rare medical condition known as hematidrosis. I think that's how you pronounce it. Hematidrosis. You can look it up online. It's where tiny capillaries in the sweat glands burst because of overwhelming anxiety, and it creates this combination of sweat and blood coming out of your pores. It's often followed by the person's body going into shock. That's how overcome with emotion Jesus is. What's interesting is that there are some Christians who would try to talk Jesus out of feeling that way. Right? Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Be like, no, you should just be happy. God loves you, Jesus. Don't you know that? Have you not read Romans 8:28? God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Jesus, if you just love God, he'll make this into a good thing, so don't be sad. Jesus, maybe you just need to have more faith. Why do some people say those kind of things? Well, I think it's because they believe it's wrong to feel certain emotions. Well, that's wrong. And we know that's wrong because Jesus felt those emotions. And so if you're watching this feeling overwhelmed to the point of death, Jesus doesn't say, don't feel that way. Jesus says, I know how that feels. And isn't that awesome? If today you don't know what to do, or you know what to do, but you don't want to do it, if you don't know how to start, or if you are at the end of your rope, Jesus knows how you feel. And understanding that changes the way we deal with our feelings. But one of the things it does is show us that we need to deal with our feelings. Too often, too many of us just kind of stuff them down, right? That's what I do. It's like, I just want to ignore these. I'm going to pretend they're not there, but we can't ignore our emotions. It's not healthy. I said earlier, emotions are like a vehicle. They take you somewhere. Here's another metaphor. Emotions are like a light on your car's instrument panel. When those lights go off, it's telling you something is going on under the hood, right? One light means you need to get oil. Another light means you need to check your engine. Another light means I have no idea what all those lights mean, but those lights tell us something is going on under the hood. You can't ignore them, or it's just going to get worse. If you ignore them, eventually you will have a problem. Like your transmission will fall out. I didn't know. Well, you should have. You had an emergency light on your dashboard telling you something was going on. And our emotions tell us something is going on underneath the surface. We can't ignore them. It's not healthy. It will just get worse. Eventually, you'll have a real problem. Panic attacks, depression, screaming at your kids, murder. Maybe not murder. You'll find yourself eating a bucket of raw chocolate chip cookie dough. Why am I doing this? We can't ignore emotions because it's not healthy and because it's not what Jesus did. And as followers of Jesus, those of us who follow Jesus, we do what Jesus did. As I said earlier, we're going to learn from David the next 3 weeks of this series. But today, we're going to check out what Jesus did with his feelings. So let's look at three things we see Jesus do. First, he talks to his friends. He talks to his friends and tells them how he's feeling and asks them to stay with him. Remember that verse? Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Don't miss this. Jesus was vulnerable with some of his closest friends, and it was not weak for him to do that. It was strong. Admitting weakness is one of the strongest, bravest things you can do. Jesus asked them to pray, and then he goes and prays, and then he goes back, and they're asleep. What does he do? Let them sleep? No, he wakes them up and again asks them to pray. Remember when you were a kid and you'd be like scared at night and maybe you had a nightmare and so you'd go and wake up your parents and having them in that moment with you, it helped. Well, Jesus is not a kid, but he is scared. And so he wakes up his friends because having friends with you in your fear helps. Do you have any idea how much strength comes from sharing your fears with friends and getting them to pray for you? I would not want to go through any anxiety-producing circumstances without having some friends who know and are praying for me. And notice, Jesus didn't do this with everyone, just with these three friends. I'm not suggesting you do this with everyone, right? Like, so someone says hi at the grocery store and you're like, oh, hi, can I tell you what's going on in my marriage? No. You find some safe people to trust, who you can trust, and you share your worries with them. I wonder if one of the biggest reasons you're struggling with emotions is because you lack community. That's why we have Verve groups. Verve groups are like 5 to 15 people who meet once a week, all different days, all different times, some in person, a lot online. We got men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, all kinds of groups. And there is a new September semester of Verve groups starting this week. And it is not too late to get in a group. You can sign up today. If you did, you'd make some friends. And we need friends. The first thing Jesus did is talk to his friends. Second, he talks to his Father. He pours out his heart, his emotions, his feelings to his Heavenly Father. Jesus prayed, naming his fear, crying out to God. That's the way Jesus teaches us to deal with feelings. You pray. You pray honest prayers. You name your fears, telling God exactly how you feel. You pray desperate prayers, crying out to God for help. That's what we do, which may be really difficult for you because maybe you weren't taught to pray that way. You might have been taught to just recite some words. Maybe as a little kid, you were taught to, cross your hands and to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Whoever thought that was a good way to teach kids to pray? You're 4 years old. Your biggest concern is what color popsicle you're going to get, or did we run out of popsicles? But now you're being taught that you might die tonight, and while you sleep, someone might be taking your soul. What? I don't know. Or maybe you were taught to recite words before you ate. "Thank you, Lord, for thine gifts and the thinest food." You've been taught prayer is this formulaic reciting of words that you don't really mean and may not even really understand. That is not prayer. That is not what Jesus did. He did not recite words. He cried out from the depths of his soul, from his place of fear and anxiety. God loves you, and he invites you to pray. That's what we do with feelings. You tell your friends, you tell your Father. You pray to God, crying out to him. So what would this look like for you? Like, what would the feelings that you're experiencing right now, maybe, "Father, I haven't worked in months. I don't know if I'm going to get my job back after this furlough. I have to provide for my family. I am so afraid. Father, I am so scared for my kid. Like, I don't even really want to know what she's doing because I don't want to face it, but I don't even know what to pray for her. But God, if you could just bring her back to you, God, if you could just put her on the right path. Father, I am so anxious about my future. Honestly, I don't even want to face it. I feel like I would rather die than have to live it. Help me because I don't know what to do. Just help me." What would it look like for you to cry out to God? Do you do that? When you're overcome with emotion, is that how you pray? God loves you, and he is inviting you to cry out to him. That is what we do with our feelings. We do what Jesus did. He talks to his friends. He talks to his Father. And third, he talks to his feelings. And here's what I mean. Many of us have been taught that you just feel your feelings. Your feelings are you. How you feel is who you are, and so you should just do what you feel. No. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you should deny your feelings. Your feelings are real. You should feel your feelings. Your feelings are that light on the dashboard. They're telling you something important about you, but you are not your feelings. And you should not just do what you feel. Your feelings don't get to lead you or control you. If you feel like having an affair, no, you don't have an affair. If you feel like screaming at your kid, no, you don't scream at your kid. If you feel like staying in bed all day, no, you don't stay in bed all day. If you feel like punching a hole in the wall, no, you don't punch a hole in the wall. You feel how you feel. That's okay. That's human. I'm not saying don't feel that way. I'm not telling you to deny your feelings. You need to acknowledge your feelings and talk to your feelings. What do I mean? We want to let our feelings know that they don't get to lead us, because our feelings don't necessarily reflect reality, right? Sometimes we're anxious about something we don't need to be anxious about. Sometimes we make something way bigger than it is. Sometimes we imagine things that will happen, but they won't happen. So we speak truth to our feelings. Jesus said, it's truth that sets us free. We speak truth to our feelings. Like, you may feel like God doesn't love you, but the truth is, He does. So much so, He had Jesus die for you when you were at your worst. That's what's true about you. So you speak that truth to your feelings. You may feel like you're alone and will always be alone. But the truth is, Jesus promised to be with you every moment. You are never alone. That's what's true about you. So you speak that truth to your feelings. You may feel like you're a victim and you'll always fail. But the truth is, you are an overcomer in Christ. You are victorious because of Him. That's what's true about you. So you speak that truth to your feelings. We speak truth to our feelings. And we talk to our feelings about our faith. We want to align our feelings with our faith. We want to align our feelings with what God wants for our lives. That's what Jesus did. Remember, it says, going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." Jesus talks to God. He cries out to God. He's honest with God about His feelings. And what does He feel like? Well, He doesn't feel like going to the cross. That's what He means when He asks God, "Take this cup from me." He doesn't feel like going to the cross, but how you feel is not who you are. And you should not just do what you feel. Your feelings are real, but your feelings don't lead you. You lead your feelings. So Jesus says, "Yet not as I will, but as You will." He's letting His feelings know, you're not in charge. I do what God tells me, not what my feelings tell me. See, He's honest about what He feels. He talks to His friends. He talks to His Father, honestly sharing what He feels. But now He's talking to His feelings, and He's aligning His feelings with His faith. And He concludes by saying, "God, I want what You want more than I want what I want. I feel the way I feel, and that matters, but what matters most is what You want." When we feel feelings, we need to talk to our feelings. We speak truth to our feelings. We align our feelings with our faith. So, what does Jesus do with His feelings? He talks to His friends. He talks to His Father. He talks to His feelings. And it worked. It worked for him. Remember, he goes into the garden overwhelmed with fear, anxiety to the point of death. But a little while later in the garden, when the soldiers come to arrest him, and then as he faces trials and then torture and then his execution, we see that he is resolute, he is strong, determined. Wow. Jesus talks to his friends, to his father, and to his feelings, and it worked. It worked for him, and it will work for us. That's what we do. We do what Jesus did. So right now, let's pray for that. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we feel, right? We have emotions. Thank you for being us, for making us emotional beings. Our feelings matter. We need to acknowledge and feel our feelings, but our feelings don't lead us. We lead our feelings. God, thank you for Jesus coming and living a human life so we can see what a human life is supposed to be lived like. We want to do what Jesus did. When we have feelings, we tell our friends, we talk to our friends, we talk to you, and we talk to our feelings. God, help us to want what you want more than what we want. Help us to know that we are not our feelings, and we get to choose where they take us. That we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.